Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Tuesday, February 7th, 2017 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And as always, a wild ride it seems to be. And it just gets wilder all the time. I am your host, Chris Hinckley. We are all road warriors, those who would esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com. A little bit of trivia, I suppose, at this point. I guest hosted the National Intel Report for John Stadmiller yesterday, and it was Monday, so that was featuring special guest Ron McDonald, which was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the broadcast quite a bit, and it seemed like Ron did, and it seemed like the listening audience did as well, so I anticipate having Ron on the broadcast soon, because apparently that was a unique and interesting combination. I think it was. I think it was. I don't know. Synergistic, I suppose, as they say, in a word. Nonetheless, I think we covered quite a bit of ground and had fun doing it. So I look forward to doing that again. It's always, I think, a privilege and an honor to listen to him. I always find it interesting. He has a wealth of knowledge, obviously. So that was fun and exciting. Also, it's my understanding that the pledge drive is something that continues. So as was stated yesterday, as you know, if you've listened to this network for any length of time, RBN is listener supported, and so your support is greatly appreciated. If you are able to help support the network, there are three ways that you can do that. You can call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, that's 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and hit the donate button and donate through PayPal. And, of course, you don't need a PayPal account to use the services. It's just the merchant services provider. And then the third way is, of course, you can mail your donation to the network, Republic Broadcasting Network, at 2251 Double Creek Drive, suite number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And again, your support is greatly appreciated. So let's get down to business. There's so much going on these days. Things are changing so fast. Unbelievable. You know, where do we begin? Interesting that the story on the botched Yemeni raid continues to change. And it's kind of a fluid narrative. That story strikes me as very odd. And the most recent CNN piece that I've seen, and virtually all the other networks, there's no mention of Nawar or Nora al-Maliki. It's interesting how the civilian deaths are kind of scrubbed and or sanitized, you know, civilian deaths. That sounds, it's fascinating to me how unsensational or not shocking that is. This was a military raid that resulted in the death of more than a dozen women and children. And of course, there's a lot of spin to try to cast it in a certain light, as if to say, you know, almost as if to subtly, implicitly say that, well, they, you know, they deserved it, being in the wrong place at the wrong time anyway. And it's interesting where we're drifting to. I think there's a lot that we could cover, but maybe we should touch on that today. I've mentioned, you know, maybe talking about that a little bit, the state of the union morally. Anyway, here's CNN's coverage on it. Last Friday, in a piece titled "Military Botches," released a video seized in Yemen raid, which obviously was a mistake. Anyway, go ahead with that, please.
Stan was here at CNN. We've got some new fallout surrounding that raid in Yemen that killed a Navy SEAL last weekend, as well as more than a dozen civilians. The U.S. military releasing video earlier today that they say was obtained from Sunday's raid in Yemen. Turns out that was actually not the case. Pentagon reporter Brian Brown joins me now live to explain what exactly happened. So they had said this was part of the intel from the raid, and now not so much.
Well, actually, Brooke, what it turns out, actually, the video was obtained on the raid. In fact, it was part of this cache of documents and files that were acquired by the U.S. Navy SEALs. But initially, the military put it out as new video, something that had been unseen before, when in fact, it came out pretty soon after that this video had actually been online for some time, put out by groups that were kind of spreading al-Qaeda propaganda. So this video had actually been in kind of public domain for years. So that was a bit of a mix-up. The military subsequently pulled the video from its website in order to not make sure that people weren't confused, that they were saying this was new. So there was a bit of confusion. The military did admit that they had rushed to get it out. U.S. Central Command, which oversees U.S. forces in the region, said they were rushing to get it out because they felt that they wanted to show the public some of the evidence of the things that had been acquired in the raid that had gotten so much media attention. And they said there wasn't any pressure for them to get it out from their higher headquarters. No pressure from the White House, no pressure from the Pentagon. This was what they called an organic decision, actually from some of the local units that were actually involved in the task force that oversaw the raid. So the military is kind of having a little bit to walk this back, a little bit of an embarrassing moment. But they're still very adamant that intelligence that is actionable, intelligence that's providing valuable insights into the terror group was indeed obtained, and that they're analyzing that information now, and it's already providing critical intel. So we're seeing a little bit of an issue there with the raid, continuing to see new information come out of this. So back to you, Brooke.
So that's one account. And again, it's interesting how, I don't know, run-of-the-mill that story sounds now. Quite frightening, I would say, and very unfortunate, very tragic. For a different account, I want to give you the Democracy Now! Interview from the same day by Amy Goodman. This is last Friday. You can find this piece on YouTube titled "Yemen, Jeremy Scahill and Advocates Question Success of Trump Raid That Killed 24 Civilians." And this is the interview, obviously, of Jeremy Scahill and Pardis Cabray, staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights, and Bara Shiban, the Yemen project coordinator and caseworker with Reprieve. So this is interesting stuff. A little different take. Go ahead, please.
Org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we turn now to Yemen, growing questions about the first covert counterterrorism operation approved by President Donald Trump. The Pentagon now acknowledges civilians were killed Sunday when members of the Navy SEAL Team 6 joined with commandos from the United Arab Emirates to raid a Yemeni village where members of Al-Qaeda were said to live. Initially, the Pentagon said there were no civilian casualties, but according to the British human rights group Reprieve, up to 24 civilians died. The dead included a newborn baby and American 8-year-old girl, Nawar al-Awlaki, the daughter of the U.S.-born cleric Anwar al-Awlaki, who was killed in Yemen by a U.S. drone strike in 2011. She's the second child of Anwar al-Awlaki to be killed by the United States in Yemen after her brother, 16-year-old American citizen Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, was killed in a U.S. drone strike in 2011. The U.S. suffered one fatality, William Ryan Owens, a veteran member of SEAL Team 6. Several other Navy SEALs were injured in a fierce firefight. Over a dozen members of Al-Qaeda reportedly died as well, and the U.S. lost a $75 million MV-22 Osprey aircraft, which crashed during landing. Plans for the raid began months ago under President Obama. Reuters reports some U.S. military officials say Trump approved the mission without sufficient intelligence, ground support, or adequate backup preparations. Another official told the New York Times, quote, almost everything went wrong. But as recently as Thursday, White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer claimed the raid a success.
This was a very, very well thought out and executed effort.
Where was the president the night of the raid? How did he learn about Chief Owens' death? And do you still stand by your characterization that it was successful?
The president was here in the residence. He was kept in touch with his national security staff. Secretary Mattis and others had kept him updated on both the raid and the death of Chief Owens, as well as the four other individuals that were injured. So he was kept apprised of the situation throughout the evening. And again, I think I would go back to what I said yesterday. It's hard to ever call something a complete success when you have the loss of life or people injured. But I think when you look at the totality of what was gained to prevent the future loss of life here in America, and against our people and our institutions and probably throughout the world in terms of what some of these individuals could have done, I think it is a successful operation by all standards.
All this comes as thousands of Yemeni Americans and their supporters rallied Thursday in Brooklyn to protest Trump's executive order banning entry to travelers from Yemen and six other Muslim-majority nations. For more, we're joined by three guests. In London, Bara Shiban is Yemen Project Coordinator for Reprieve. She's spoken with residents of the village of Yaqla that was raided. Here in New York, Pardis Cabrai, senior staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights, represents current and former Guantanamo prisoners. And joining us via Democracy Now! Video stream, Jeremy Scahill, co-founder of The Intercept, host of the new weekly podcast Intercepted. He's the author of The Assassination Complex, Inside the Government's Secret Drone Warfare Program. His most recent article, former senior FBI counterterrorism agent slams Trump on torture and Muslim ban. We welcome you all to Democracy Now! Jeremy, let us start with you. You've been to Yemen several times. You know the al-Awlaki family. Can you talk about what you understand took place?
Well, first of all, let's begin with what we understand about how Trump signed off on this covert mission. We understand that in addition to some military officials and, of course, conferring with General James Mattis, that Trump made the decision to greenlight this Navy SEAL raid over dinner with people like Steve Bannon, his white supremacist top advisor, and Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, who has absolutely no experience with these kinds of activities. And what's interesting, before we get to the details of the raid, is that Sean Spicer and the Trump administration tried to imply that the Obama administration and that President Obama himself had greenlit this operation before leaving office, and that they were just waiting for a moonless night so that they could have the cover of darkness to go in. But a former senior official in the Obama administration, Colin Kahl, is saying that that's false, and that the former President Obama had not actually signed off on this specific raid, but that they had signed off on some of the parameters that the Department of Defense was going to operate under if this raid went ahead, and that the Obama administration viewed this potential raid as an escalation of the U.S. war in Yemen, and that they wanted to defer to the incoming administration, the Trump administration. Now, let's take that with a grain of salt. The Obama administration mercilessly pounded Yemen with bombs since December of 2009 when they launched a cluster bomb attack that killed three dozen women and children in the village of Al-Majla and then repeatedly drone struck Yemen, and then more recently provided the Saudis with cluster bombs and other munitions, aircraft to engage in their total destruction, scorched earth campaign inside of Yemen, and also refueling the planes that the Saudis have been using to pummel Yemen, while Samantha Power, Obama's ambassador to the United Nations, was condemning the excesses of the Saudis in Yemen. The United States was, of course, continuing to support the Saudi campaign there. Now, as it relates to this specific raid, we understand that the official story is that the Navy SEALs were being sent in to target senior al-Qaeda people, that they were going to snatch phones and computers and access this valuable intel. And in fact, we have to remember that almost always the initial official responses, and it can go on for days and weeks or months, is either full of half-truths or outright lies. The initial statement on this was that it was this epically successful raid, that no civilians were killed. Yes, a Navy SEAL was killed in a gun battle, but it was worth it to protect the United States and our security because they obtained all this valuable intel. Now, the in answering that question, we're also going to address how it was that this 8-year-old girl, Nawar al-Awlaki, was in this compound at the same time. Who was Nawar al-Awlaki? Well, she was the 8-year-old daughter of Anwar al-Awlaki from his third wife. So she was the half-brother of Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, the 16-year-old American citizen.
Half-sister.
The half-sister of Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, the 16-year-old American citizen who was killed in a drone strike as he had dinner with his teenage cousin and others in October of 2011. Awlaki had four wives, and this was his third wife. That marriage was a tribally arranged marriage between Anwar Awlaki and an influential tribal family, the Dahab family. Why do I bring up this minutia that seems like it would be irrelevant? Well, among the people that were killed in this Navy SEAL raid were two brothers, and they were Anwar Awlaki's brother-in-laws, who had helped Anwar Awlaki escape the first known attempted assassination of Anwar Awlaki back in 2011. And they did so by creating a dust circle in the desert with a number of vehicles and then spread out in different directions while Awlaki was in one of the vehicles, and Awlaki escaped. But so, you know, these guys had been on the U.S. radar for some time. But the idea that they were senior figures within al-Qaeda is just a joke and a sick one at that to anyone who actually knows about the inner workings and the structure of al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. And so this was, I understand from my sources on the ground in Yemen who know the tribal structure well, is that these were low-level foot soldiers basically for al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula.
We'll be right back.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And let's remember that AQAP has long been capable of organizing any kind of a threat to the United States or U.S. interests. And their primary war right now, ironically, is against the same forces that the Trump administration claims are Iranian proxies, the al-Houthi militias and leaders inside of Yemen. Those are people that al-Qaeda is fighting against while the U.S. supports the Saudis to bomb them. Al-Qaeda also fighting against the southern forces in Yemen. And so, you know, their primary goal right now is not global jihad. It's against the Houthis, against the southern forces in Yemen. And finally, Amy, you know, the U.S. claims, and there was an NBC report that came out last night, that someone had tipped off, al-Qaeda people to the fact that this U.S. raid was imminent. Now, I find that a little bit hard to believe, that someone is leaking U.S. intelligence to al-Qaeda, although under this Trump administration, there seems to be a lot of leaks happening. But what they ended up doing was basically just destroying the structures where these people were housed. And so Nawar al-Awlaki, this 8-year-old girl, was there because her mother had returned to her village and to her family after Anwar al-Awlaki was killed. They had been living in Sana'a. So they were there living in their local village. And my understanding from the al-Awlaki family is that Nawar al-Awlaki was, the 8-year-old girl, was shot in the neck, but that she could have been potentially saved and that she was left to bleed out. And, you know, Trump did say, and General Michael Flynn, his national security advisor, they both said in kind of a despicably celebratory way that the families of terrorists are fair game. And can be killed. And it's not that Obama's administration didn't kill children and women. It's that they would say, oops, we didn't mean to kill civilians. They didn't really explain why they killed Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, but at least the Obama administration gave the veneer of some remorse about this. Trump's people say that by all standards, this is a success. It's never a success when you have 8-year-old kids and infants being killed, or when you have, you know, Navy SEALs being sent on missions that are not really about the defense of the United States.
Jeremy, it's been widely reported that Nawar is an American citizen. Was she?
Well, I don't think that anyone ever took her to a consulate to get a passport. And the law on this, you know, I would defer to Pardis Cabray on this. She was born to an American citizen father. Her mother was not an American citizen, as far as I know. I'm almost 100% certain that's true. She had one parent who was an American citizen. I don't think Anwar al-Awlaki would have been able to walk into a consulate to get his daughter American citizenship. But you know, I think that's a question for the lawyer. She definitely had at least one parent who was an American citizen.
And Ryan Owens, the Navy SEAL who was killed, you have a lot of contacts within Navy SEAL Team 6. The significance of this?
Well, you know, these are considered to be the highest end soldiers, the guys who are sent in to do the, you know, go take down high value targets. They led the raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Abbottabad. But you know, the SEALs are definitely in Camp Trump. You know, there are these pictures that have emerged lately of you know, U.S. military vehicles down near Louisville with current U.S. military vehicles driving around with Trump signs, Trump flags from the back of the vehicles, and you know, Trump often would tout the Navy SEALs on the campaign trail more than other, you know, military units within the U.S. military. And part of that has to do with the kind of Christian crusader, religious supremacist mentality that permeates that community. For people who really want to understand the dark side of this, you know, revered force, I recommend reading my colleague Matthew Cole's excellent series at TheIntercept.com. And, of course, he's been on this show as well. But these are the most expensive soldiers in the U.S. arsenal, and it appears that Trump used them for a mission or authorized them for a mission against some very low-level al-Qaeda people whose primary goal right now is fighting against the same people the U.S. claims to be bombing in Yemen. It's really sick.
I want to bring Bara Shaban into this of Reprieve. Bara, you've been speaking with residents of the village of Yakla that was raided. Tell us what you've learned.
We'll be right back. Stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Oh, fall. My favorite time of year. Cooler temperatures and, well, let's be honest, layers. Lots and lots of layers. Look, I get it. We all have that favorite hoodie. Matter of fact, I've got a few favorite hoodies. You should wear yours. Enjoy it. I do. But I stay focused on my health year-round, and for me, I take Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. Nature's Youth RSF from naturesyouth.com. I eat right, control my portion sizes, still maintain a commitment to regular fitness, and I get plenty of rest, and I take Nature's Youth RSF. It's okay to cover up your beach body for a few months, but don't just forget about it. Nature's Youth understands exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products, and Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain peak performance levels and fight the aging process. So layer up and get started today with Nature's Youth RSF. Nature'sYouth.com. Simple to use, even simpler to order. Go to Nature'sYouth.com. That's Nature'sYouth.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com.
That's N-U-M-A-N-N-A, republic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry.
Thank you very much. What we know happened is almost midnight, the Navy SEAL Team 6 landed in a nearby location. I'm not sure when they said it was a compound. There was nothing such thing. I know the place myself. I've been there myself when a former drone strike happened in 2013 with a group of with a group of reporters and other human rights workers to investigate that drone strike. It's a small village. You cannot even claim that it's Al Qaeda headquarters or Al Qaeda base. It's a small village with very limited services. The people back then were normal villagers. They were just farmers who were working during the day in their farms. So what we know happened is, they landed, and then they didn't just raid the house of Abdul Rauf al-Dahab, as the Trump administration seems to claim. Actually, they raided the whole village. And if you're in the middle of the night and you raid a village, obviously there's going to be some gunfire. And now, I think Jeremy explained the link with Nawar al-Awlaki, but Nawar is not the only child who killed in this raid. There are 10 children who were killed, 6 women, and 8 other villagers, and then we can claim that maybe Abdul Rauf al-Dahab and his brother were militants, or we could say combatants. If we exclude them, you are left with 24 civilians who were killed in this raid. I'm not sure what was the aim of this of an operation at this scale, especially that Abdul Rauf al-Dahab is not a senior member of Al-Qaeda. There's his main link towards Al-Qaeda was through his elder brothers, Nabil and Tariq al-Dahab. And I wouldn't imagine that Al-Qaeda would trust Abdul Rauf with such valuable information as the Trump administration, or like Sean Spicer, seems to be suggesting in his press release.
And what is it that was expressed most by the people you spoke to in this village, Barah?
At the first time let me go back a little bit. Like in December 2013, people were outraged at the moment and very upset. But actually, back then, the Yemeni government apologized to those villagers and gave them compensation and promised them that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen again. Today, when I spoke to the people, people feel that they are actually targeted. It's not a mistake, as the Obama administration claimed, or what the Yemeni government has been saying. They feel they have been targeted. This village was hit twice: once a drone strike on a wedding party, and this time it's a raid. And no one understands what was the aim of the raid, especially when they see their women and children were being killed. The one person I spoke to, he said we were very terrified. He had to close his door and told everyone in his family not to leave the house until they realize what's happening out there. He said 2 hours later, and can you imagine in a small village, really 2 hours of constant shooting. He said we went out, and then the literal words he used: bodies everywhere, women, children, everything. Now, interestingly enough, also the groom who survived the drone strike on his wedding in December 2013 was killed along with his son and daughter in this raid. I'm not sure how can they explain this. I know the area myself. The house that they claim was Al Qaeda based. That's a two room story house, very small. There is nothing I would say is much big of a value. If I would claim that Abdul Rauf was the target of the raid, maybe they were trying to get him to arrest him and get him alive. How can you explain the death of 24 civilians just to get one person?
Pardis Cabriai, you're a senior staff attorney with the Center for Constitutional Rights. Yemen's Foreign Minister Abdulmalik al-Maflaki condemned the raid in a Twitter post as extrajudicial killings. What's your understanding about the legality of what just happened and your thoughts on how soon into Trump's presidency it's happened?
I think the strike or the raid was of questionable legality. There are clearly questions about the legality, about the intelligence, about the process, about the impact that need to be asked and answered. There have been calls for a briefing on the Hill by members of Congress. There have been calls by other human rights groups for an investigation. There must be an investigation and an explanation of what happened on legal, political, human, and security levels. So it's hard right now to, you know, sort of come to a conclusion about exactly what happened, because the government needs to say more. The administration needs to say more. There needs to be accountability now, given that this was the first raid in Yemen by the Trump administration, and given that there are clear signs that this is an administration that wants to escalate. The use of raids, the use of drones, the use of war making in Yemen and elsewhere. So there needs to be accountability and a check right now before we go further. I would also say, as Jeremy pointed out, there needed to be accountability before. These are authorities that were claimed by the Obama administration, that were continued from the Bush administration, claimed by the Obama administration, a program of killing through drones, through raids that has been going on for years. And accountability is important not just when you have a constitutional, not just when you have a president like Trump, but, you know, when you have a constitutional law professor like President Obama as well. And accountability did not happen meaningfully under the former administration. Politically, publicly, or through the courts. I mean, we're seeing now, for example, with the Muslim ban, how essential the role of the courts is in checking, sweeping, ostensibly unlawful executive power. There were attempts at judicial accountability in the past under the Obama administration with the drone program, and the courts failed to exercise judicial scrutiny at that point. So it's critical.
I'm curious, Barash Eban, are you affected by the Muslim ban? We are speaking to right now in London.
I think that's a really good question. Me myself, right now, I can't go to visit my reprieve colleagues in the U.S. That's effectively what the Muslim ban has done. Not only that, actually, but we in reprieve have have invited before relatives of drone strike victims to the United States, and we have arranged for them meetings to meet and talk to congressmen and senators inside the U.S. So they can talk to each other, basically. We brought Faisal bin Ali Jaber, who is a relative of a drone victim, who was able to sit and meet with congressmen. And effectively, what we were trying to do in Reprieve is just encourage that dialogue to happen. People need to talk to each other. They need to hear those voices. And effectively, what the Trump administration has done with this ban is shut down that door of dialogue, saying we don't want to talk to anyone. We're going to deal with everyone outside the U.S. as aliens, and that's it. I'm not sure how this is going to help the security of the United States when you're willing not to talk to people anymore. But basically, this is what's been doing. And it's not just me, but actually the thousands of Yemeni people who have their relatives maybe outside at the moment of the ban, now they can't go back into the country.
Finally, Jeremy Scahill, Stephen Bannon was with President Trump when he okayed the raid, apparently. Can you talk about the significance of this?
Well, Stephen Bannon and Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law and first lady, as she appears to be now, Ivanka Trump's husband. Look, the fact is that Steve Bannon is a dangerous, extreme right-wing ideologue. Yes, he is a former member of the United States Navy, but his life's work is promoting fear-mongering against immigrants and promoting what I think can rightly be called a white supremacist agenda. And let's be clear here. Donald Trump's administration will lie about aerial photos from his inauguration and what they show. You think they're going to tell the truth about the details of a covert raid in Yemen that killed women and children and got a U.S. Navy SEAL killed? Let's look at their actual response in the bigger picture. We learned yesterday that Gina Haspel is going to be the deputy director of the Central Intelligence Agency. She was one of the people that ran a CIA black site where prisoners were mercilessly tortured, waterboarded, etc. And she, we understand, was the agent who led the destruction of the CIA torture tapes at the direction of the main torture ringleader, Jose Rodriguez, at the Central Intelligence Agency. That is the person who now is going to be the number two at Donald Trump's CIA. And Susan Rice, Obama's ambassador to the UN, and all these other Democrats are up in arms because a Republican was bragging about her being, you know, the first woman to be named to such a high position, and that, in fact, Obama had also named a woman to a high position in the CIA. The objection is not the black site, not the torture, not the destruction of tapes, but that there was gender equality somehow under Obama, and now Trump has picked this woman. I mean, that's the state where we're at now in our discussion about these policies. The fact is that Trump's administration, Islamophobes, billionaires, bigots, and torture lovers.
I want to thank you all for being with us. Jeremy Scahill of The Intercept, Barash Shaban of Reprieve in London, and Pardis Kabriai of the Center for Constitutional Rights. You can go to our website to hear some of the voices of more than 1,000 small grocery store owners and workers across New York who went on strike Thursday in the latest protest against President Trump's immigration order. When we come back, we'll speak with a transgender reporter who was just fired from the public radio show Marketplace. Stay with us.
Okay. Now I want to cut to another shocking video that basically kind of pieces things together. So that was Jeremy Scahill on the raid. And as I pointed out on the Bin Laden raid, May 2011 raid, and of course there are varying accounts on that. I think that R.J. Hillhouse's account is the one that I believe, and that story is corroborated in a variety of ways. Unfortunately, Seymour Hersh obviously reporting back in, 2015, similar story. It's hard to imagine that he didn't at some point stumble across R.J. Hillhouse's account that's very similar. Nonetheless, they maintain their two accounts. But here is a more in-depth and personal look at those raids. You have to think about what's happening here. SEAL Team 6 is an extension of what you might call the President's Army through JSOC, Joint Special Operations Command. And you can imagine, one can only imagine the kind of thrill that someone like Donald Trump or especially Steve Bannon might get. Bannon is someone that we'll talk about a little bit more in the future. You know, one of the biggest problems that you see in the mainstream corporate press in America is it's hard to get an accurate read on anything. It doesn't feel like there's any objective journalism being practiced out there, at least in my opinion. Everything is sensationalized. But again, I think that kind of plays into what I call this cartoonish reality that we're experiencing these days. So you heard Jeremy Scahill mention Matthew Cole's piece over at The Intercept. I've mentioned that piece. I've encouraged folks to read it and also to listen to this piece. We're going to hear an excerpt, a couple of excerpts from. But he did, Matthew Cole did a very shocking expose on SEAL Team 6. And not to disparage or denigrate at all, but to shed light on something that's happening in America that honestly I don't understand how we can call ourselves American if this kind of thing is happening. So you hear what happened in the Yemeni raid from accounts secondhand from folks that were there, which I would think is a little bit probably more accurate and authentic than what we're hearing through a whitewashed and filtered military-industrial complex meets media-industrial complex handoff. And so the point is, when you understand this CIA-coordinated with the help of JSOC and SEAL Team 6 operational command structure, and then you hear what is actually happening on the ground, it becomes shocking. So you heard about you heard accounts of varying accounts and what I would call an alternative account of what happened in the botched Yemeni raid on January 29th. We're going to hear Matthew Cole's research-based account of a practice that has apparently been taking place in the within SEAL Team 6 for quite some time, unfortunately. The title of the interviews that Matthew Cole did with Amy Goodman over at Democracy Now! It's a two-part interview. The first part is titled "New Intercept Exposé Uncovers SEAL Team 6's Ghastly Trail of Atrocities, Mutilations, and Killings." And part two, which we're going to have excerpts from here in a minute, is titled "Intercept Exposé on How SEAL Team 6 Killed Osama Bin Laden, Canoeing, and Other Atrocities." And it's again, it's just really shocking. I think the more that we go along, the more that what you see happening, what you'll hear, kind of reminds one of the kind of bloodlust that you hear in the most gruesome totalitarian regimes. get to that.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life.
Welcome back.
To be free and explore the unknown.
Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, and I want to get to this second piece, and I'm just going to warn you. I don't know about you, but my stomach turns just to hear it. It really does. And to think this is something that is happening, that is practiced with regularity, and not just in the United States military, but at the highest levels. As I have said, not just by the best, but by the best of the best of the best. is unconscionable, really. So we'll get to that in a minute, but first let's go to the phones real quick and grab Fred in Iowa. Fred, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, hi, Chris.
Hi, Fred. I think we have plenty of time today.
Well, I'm not going to take so much because I was pretty charged up yesterday. I want to get this side out, first of all, is just another man, slash Walter Weiss. Okay, you know, we've talked about the Hegelian dialectic, cognitive dissonance, and normalcy bias. And I know I'm not alone, but I get so frustrated, bored, pissed off, depressed, dejected. But I can understand normalcy bias. It's just a living hell for people to face up. But I tuned in a little late, but what you're talking about today, if people would, we've got information, we've got plenty of information, but Ruby Ridge, Waco, Texas, the Muir building in Okie City, and the Corbett report, you know, on Timothy McVeigh and Larry Nichols. And then if they look up Robert Hansen, FBI agent that was treason and for 15 years, and the Discovery Channel or one of those fake bull crap CBS box channels, you know, how they painted it, that they were trying to say that he got through to bin Laden and caused 9/11 and all that, which is bull crap. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're headed into the... Yeah, we're headed in the break. If you could, hold on, Fred, and we'll continue in the first segment of the second hour coming up right after this short break, folks. Stick around, we'll be right back.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.